జయం యశుపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయ చరణారవింద భక్తివేదాంత గోస్వామి మహారాష్ట్రీల ప్రభుపాదికి జయం. తిరిలా ప్రవిశ్వం యశుపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్త సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహారాష్ట్రీల ప్రభుపాదికి అనంతకోటి వైష్ణవ వృందకి నామాచార్య శ్రీ హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్త వృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోపగోపినాథ శ్యామగుండ రాధాగుండ గిరిగోవర్ధానికి బృందావన్ ధామ్కి మాయాపూర్ ధామ్కి మధురపురి ధామ్కి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్కి గంగమాయికి హిమనమాయికి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త వృందకి గౌ ప్రేమానంది. ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ శ్రీ గురు అండ్ శ్రీ గౌరాంగ, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్ నమామి శుభదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ భూదలే శ్రీమతి భక్తివేదాంత స్వామిని దినామిని నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవం గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పశ్చాతి దేశదారిణి. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. సంసార సాగరే మగ్నం దీనం మాం కరుణానిధే కర్మగ్రాహ గ్రహీతాంగం మాముద్ధర భవార్ణవాత్. శ్రీమద్భాగవదాఖ్యోయం ప్రత్యక్ష కృష్ణమేవ హి స్వీకృతోసి మయా నాథ ముక్త్యర్థం భవసాగరే మనోరథే మదీయోయం సఫలా సర్వదా త్వయ నిర్విఘ్నేనైవ కర్తవ్యం దాసోహం తవ కేశవ. భవే భవే యథా భక్తి పాదయోస్తవ జాయతే తథా కురుష్వ దేవేశ నాదస్త్వం నో యద ప్రభో. నామ సంకీర్తనం యస్య సర్వభావ ప్రణాశనం ప్రణామో దుఃఖశమనం తం నమామి హరిం పరం. జన్మాద్యన్వయాతరదర్థేష్విజ్ఞస్వరా తేనే బ్రహ్మహృదాయ ఆదికవయే ముహ్యంది యత్సూరయ. తేజోవారిమృదం యథా వినిమయో యత్రత్రిసర్గో మృష ధామ్నా స్వేన సదా నిరస్తకుహకం సత్యం పరం ధీమహి. ధర్మ ప్రోజ్జితగైదవోత్రవరమో నిర్మత్సరాణం సదా వేద్యం వాస్తవమత్ర వస్తు శివదం తాపత్రయోన్మూలనం. శ్రీమద్భాగవతే మహాముని కృతే కిం వా పరైరీశ్వరై సద్యో హృద్యవరుద్యదేత్ర కృతిభి శుశ్రూషుభి తక్షణాన్ నిగమకల్పదరోర్గలితం ఫలం శుకముఖాదమృతద్రవ సంయుధం పిబద భాగవతం రసం ఆలయం ముహురహో రసిగా భువి భావుగాః. సచిదానందరూపాయ విశ్వోల్పత్యాదిహేదవే తాపత్రయ వినాశాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నుమః. యం ప్రవ్రజందం హనుభేదమభేదకృత్యం ద్వైపాయనో విరహితరమాజ్జుహావ తత్రేతి తన్మయదయత్తరవోభినేదు తం సర్వభూతహృదయం మునిమానదోస్మి. యస్వానుభావమఖిల శ్రుతిసారమేకం అధ్యాత్మదీపమతిథిదీర్షదం తమోంధం సంసారిణాం కరుణయాః పురాణగుహ్యం తం వ్యాససూనుముపయామి గురుం మునీనాం. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తదో జయముదీరయే. కమనీయ కిశోరముగ్ధమూర్తే కలవేణుకునిదాధృదానందోః మమ వాజి విజృంభదా మురారే మధురిం న కణికాపి కాపి కాపి. నమా ఓం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రసాయ భూతలే శ్రీమదే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామినిది నామిని నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవీం గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణి శ్రీమల్ గురుచరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమ. వందే నందవ్రజస్త్రీణాం పాదరేణుమభీష్ణశాం వ్యాసం హరిగదోద్గీతం పునాది భువనత్రయం గోపీచరణారవింద పరమానవే నమ. పీతాంబరం కరవిరాజితచక్రశంఖం కౌమోదగీ సరసిజం కరుణాసముద్రం రాధాసహాయమతిసుందరమందహాసం വാതാലയേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണു ശമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ ഭാസതാം പുരതോ മമ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽ കൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ last Sunday Krishna was talking to Arjuna about the position or the situation with a yogi who has come managed to get his mind under control. We talked about that in the verses, and in the last verse, 28th verse, Krishna says, which we were just started discussing, that is the 28th verse in the 6th chapter. Krishna is saying there, യുഞ്ജന് ഏവം സദാത്മാനം യോഗി വിഗതകല്മഷാഹ സുഖേന ബ്രഹ്മസംസ്പർശം അത്യന്തം സുഖം അശ്നുതേ. Isn't it? So, he says, I'll read the translation. Steady in the self, being freed from all material contamination, the yogi achieves the highest perfection stage of happiness in touch with the supreme consciousness. This is the original translation, so I don't know, there may be differences in others, but this is what Prabhupada has translated it. So so what is important here is to know that when it comes to that stage, that Brahma Samsparsham, he says here, isn't it? Sukhena Brahma Samsparsham. Brahma Samsparsham means self-realization. That's all it is. In different places in Bhagavad Gita, you will see different terminologies used to point out the same thing. That in effect, the result is more important, not the wordings, what has been used. Sometimes it may say sthita prajna, sometimes it says dundvadidan, sometimes it will say in gunatraya vibhaga yogam, that means the three modes of material nature, one who has transcended the three modes of nature. So the same person is referred in different ways at different places in the Bhagavad Gita, but in effect it is referring to the same realization. The realization is the same, but spoken in different ways. One who has transcended the dualities and one who has transcended three modes of material nature is one and the same person. It's not different. Similarly, one who is man of steady intelligence, Krishna says in the second chapter, isn't it? Which is called Sthidapratnya. Sthidapratnya seya bhasha, samadhistha se keshava. The Sthidapratnyatvam is nothing different than that. Here, when it comes to the yoga practice, which is Ashtanga Yogam, which is talked about here in this 6th chapter, Krishna uses the word Sukhena Brahma Samsparsham. That means he is in touch with Brahma. Samsparsham means to touch. So he is in touch with the Brahma. In other words, Brahma realization has happened to him. That's what he's saying there. So, Atyantam Sukham Ashnude, and he has reached the final goal. Final goal means perfection in happiness. No more happiness after that looking for, because he is in that state, perfectional state. Self-realization has happened to him. That's what Prabhupada says in the purport. Self-realization means knowing one's own constitutional position, relationship to the Supreme. So, having said that, we talked about all that last Sunday. So, one who has surrendered to Krishna, from a devotee's point of view, one who has surrendered to Krishna.
other words, he has handed over his body, his mind, intelligence, everything into Krishna's hands and left to Krishna to decide what he wants to do with it. That is surrender, isn't it? That's why we spoke about Vibhishana surrender to Ramachandra. Remember last Sunday we talked about that. We must remember that. It's the best example for surrender, how Vibhishana surrendered to Ramachandra. Like, he left Ravana, he can't go back anymore there. Here, there is no guarantee that Ramachandra was going to accept him. You can imagine a person's situation like that. In spiritual life, always this happens. We leave everything in this world, but we haven't got there either. It is right in between situation. That's why Vibhishana Sharanagati is very important for among the Sri Vaishnavas, among the Ramanuja Vaishnava. They take it very seriously. If one can, that is why when in Valmiki Ramayanam, if you look, you will see there, Ramachandra gives a very special guarantee there. He says, if somebody comes to me in that way, there is no question of sending him back, he said, even if it's Ravana. If he comes to me in that way, that he shows the power of bhakti. That bhakti means this. Bhakti is nothing but surrender. When the surrender is not there, there is no bhakti. Everything else you can do in this world, but surrender is the key to bhakti. Bhakti's whole technique of, why, otherwise bhakti cannot be so simple. We say bhakti is a simple process, isn't it? But surrendering is not so simple, isn't it? We know how difficult it is. So for a jnani, shraddha is important. Shraddha means that he has to have that absolute faith in the Shastram and the words of the spiritual master. And Shastrasya Guruvakyasya Satya Buddhyavadharana Sa Shraddha. That is how Shraddha is defined. In other words, implicit faith in the Shastram. He cannot question Shastram. Shastram is Shastram. That is its own position. As we discussed yesterday, that Vedam is like that. That you cannot find by your direct experience or by any other process in this world. The answer, if you want, that is in the Vedas. That's what Vedas are talking about. The knowledge, what you can achieve from the material world, and which cannot give you the complete answer to all your questions. That answer, if you are looking for, is there in the Vedic literature. Pratyakshena animityeva yast upayo na vidyade evam vadandi vedena tasmal vedasi vedada. Therefore, Veda is mentioned. Sainacharya's commentary on Rigveda, he talks about that in this way. So, Vedas have its own unique position, which no other literature has in this world. It's a very unique position in the sense that the unknown reasons for so many things happening in this world, which we do not know, as I mentioned yesterday, so many questions remain unanswered. Science cannot answer those questions, isn't it? Okay, when natural disasters happen, for example, earthquake, cyclone, drought, and similar things like that. Wars happen. You can blame each other for the war, but when it happens, you just don't know why it's happened. Every time people get puzzled by the war, isn't it? We remember Prabhupada used to say this in the Second World War time, how the German people felt very strongly about it, and many of them went and prayed in the church to stop the war, but they couldn't stop it. And then they came out and said, God could not stop it, so there's no God, they said. They came to that conclusion. So this kind of misunderstanding has come. Why? Because the literature that's guiding them in their spiritual life is not complete in its understanding of the truth. Whereas Vedic literature, that is where the unique position of the Vedas, what you cannot find the answer in this world. Similarly, many other questions remain unanswered, isn't it? Science will never be able to find an answer to that. Science is busy in exploring the universe, exploring the creation, where it's come from. They are amazed by the creation and they want to find out the source. So they are looking for the source through all their research work. But it is impossible to find that, because Vedic literature is telling us that if you look into Srimad Bhagavatam, the first word itself of Krishna's definition is Janmadhyasayataha. Janmadhyam, everything that has come from whom, is asking. Upanishads are saying the same thing, Janmadhyasayataha. So Janmadhi, Janma Adi, that means birth and so on, and the origin of everything. So we were talking about that on Sunday, and as I mentioned before, that one who has surrendered to Krishna, completely, like the way Vibhishana surrendered to Ramachandra. And so many other surrender stories there in the Srimad Bhagavatam, isn't it? Kunti Devi surrendered to Krishna. That is one style of surrender. Draupadi surrendered to Krishna, another style. Uttara Devi surrender in another style, isn't it? Similarly, we have got Gajendra surrender, Mahabali surrender, Prahlada surrender, all are telling us only one thing, surrender to Krishna, surrender to Krishna. And if that surrender hasn't happened, if the surrender hasn't happened, then that bhakti cannot come to perfection. That is the point that Bhagavatam has to tell us. So, we said all that and also mentioned that. Krishna also mentions that, that in yoga sadhana, that that at some stage in self-realization, when one perceives Krishna's presence in everything in this creation, that means the whole jagat, jagat means universe, the whole creation is nothing but Krishna. That stage comes at that time, Vasudeva Swarupam. You will see later on in the 7th chapter, Bhuvinam Janmanamande Jnanavanmam Pravadyade Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sudurlabha. It's a famous verse in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? What is happening to a person who has realized is, after several births, Bahunam Janmanamande, he comes to this understanding that who Jnanavanmam Prabhadyade, a person who is in knowledge, he realizes what? Vasudeva Sarvamidi, everything is Krishna, who is present in this creation, is nothing but Krishna. Samahatma Sudurlabha. But that does not mean by saying this, oh, everybody is Krishna, so if I punch you, you are also Krishna, I am also Krishna. That is not what it means. We have to understand from a spiritual understanding these things. That what it means is that on a spiritual level, it is Krishna only who is present. And that is the soul present in everyone, referring to the soul. On a vyavaharam, on a bodily identity, we are all different. On a bodily level, we are all different. On a spiritual level, we are actually the one soul, nothing else. But that is manifested in through different, many different bodies. So from what level you are looking at the truth, accordingly the realization also. Accordingly the realization also. So Krishna was saying here, at that point, that in the next two verses we talked about, this is what Krishna is going to talk about. What are they? 29 verse. Sarva-bhūdastham-ātmānam Sarva-bhūdāni-chātmani Ikṣade-yoga-yukta-ātmām Sarvatrā-samadarshinām Sarva-bhūdastham-ātmānam Sarva-bhūdāni-chātmani Ikshade yoga yuktatmam Sarvatra samadarshanam. Again, next verse. Yomam pashyati sarvatram Sarvam jamai pashyati Tasyaham na prabashyami Sajami na pranashyati Yomam pashyati sarvatram Sarvam jamai pashyati Tasyaham na pranashyami Sajami na pranashyati. So, let's look at that translation. First one, Sarvabhudastam atmanam sarvabhudam sarvabhudani jatmani Ikshade yoga yuktatma sarvatra samadarshana. A true yogi observes me in all beings and also sees everything, every being in me. Indeed, the self-realized man sees me everywhere. Then, Yomam pashyati sarvatra sarvam jamai pashyati tasyaham na pranashyami sajame na pranashyati. Krishna is saying, for one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. Now, these two verses are very straightforward, telling us how we should understand those verses. In the first one, Krishna is saying, a true yogi observes me in all beings and also sees every being in me. Indeed, the self-realized man sees me everywhere. Krishna is saying here that in the realized state, we are not seeing anymore on the bodily level. Bodily identity goes away at that point. Only then this can happen. Isn't it? It's very simple to understand. If you are looking at the body, it's not that all bodies are going to turn out to be one. It will never happen. Bodies will be different because bodies have come from through karma vasanas, isn't it? Prarabdham has created this body and the prarabdham for everybody is different. But when it comes to the platform of the soul, when you look at the soul and self-realization has happened to a person, Krishna is saying here that he observes me in all beings. He's only seeing the soul in everyone. And indeed, the self-realized man sees me everywhere, which means he is only seeing the soul in everyone. He's not seeing the body anymore. He's not seeing the body anymore. This is a state which is difficult to explain, but this is a state to be realized at the time of self-realization. This happens. And similarly, in the next verse, Sarvabhudam Bhudastham Altmanam Sarvabhudani Chatmani. Altman very clearly mentions there the soul. Sarvabhudani Chatmani. Ikshade Yoga Yuktatma Sarvatra Samadarshana. Samadarshana means the equal vision has come to him. Why? Because he's only seeing the soul in everyone, not the body anymore. That's the point. And similarly, for one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. This is also important. When one is self-realized, Krishna says there that in everywhere he sees Krishna's presence in every living entity. Not only that, he finds that every living entity is in Krishna. Krishna means referring to the soul inside a person. That it is a soul which is addressed to. That it is the soul that Bhagavad Gita is discussing about. Bhagavad Gita has no interest in discussing about the body of anybody. That is left it to material scientists and doctors or whoever it is. But the soul side, that's what Krishna is saying, that Krishna is present in everyone as a soul. And once you realize that, he sees Krishna in everyone. Similarly, when he sees the soul in everyone, he is actually perceiving Krishna in both ways. Either he sees Krishna in everyone and everyone is in Krishna. Krishna is that soul, in other words. I am never lost. Krishna says, you never lose connection with me in that state. Nor is he ever lost to me. That is the meaning of those two verses. Now, let us look at that verses in detail. So, Sarvabhudalpam Altmanam. So, one who has seen himself, first realizing the self, who I am, that's the first step, realizing the self. One who has realized himself what he is, he will see the soul in others. Otherwise, he is not going to see. First, I have to realize that I am that soul, the spiritual realization or self-realization is the first step. It is after that he realizes the soul in other bodies, not before that. People often read Bhagavad Gita verses and start taking, oh, now that Bhagavad Gita is saying I have to see Krishna everywhere, so I'll start looking, where is Krishna in everyone. But that won't happen that way. That's the important point. First, you have to realize yourself what you are. And once you realize what you are, that you are a spiritual, nature is spiritual. This body is not me. I'm not this body. Body is not mine. The body is not meant for enjoyment, my own enjoyment. I'm not this body. Body is not mine. Body is not for my enjoyment. These three things, important. When we realize that, we are slowly separating from the body, moving away from the body. Body is something, it's not our swarupam. It's not our pure identity. Our identity is spiritual. On this covering has come in the form of body, mind, intelligence and ego. These are called upadhis in Shastram. Upadhi means all these things. And so long as we have upadhi holding us and we identify with the upadhi. Upadhi means body, mind, intelligence, ego. As long as we are identifying with them, our relationship with the soul is very, very limited. We take all the energy from the soul in the form of pranam, in the form of mind, intelligence, everything. But we identify with the upadhi rather than the source, where it's coming from. The source is the soul. That is why repeatedly in Vedanta Shastram, it has to be spoken again, again and again, all the time, to remind us that our identity is not this body, it is the soul, it is spiritual. Identity is spiritual. If you keep on repeating this, anusandhanam it is called, if you keep on repeating this, it will come to our help at the right time. It will come to our own help at the right time. And when is that right time? Right time is when you realize that material body is only, we are going to lose it one day, isn't it? We'll lose the body one day. One day or the other it has to go. There's no question about that. All the other whole life you have served this body in one way or the other. But at the last minute, the body says goodbye to us and go. And at that point you are puzzled. Why did this happen? I looked after my body so well. But the fact is that we have identified with the first, like just like in the mathematics, if you, the first step itself is gone wrong, so everything that has come after that, no matter if you have worked out the whole formula, everything correctly, still your answer will be wrong. Why? Because the first understanding itself was wrong. First equation or first time when you started the calculations, you went wrong somewhere. And that's what happens to all of us. Identification with the body we have started from the beginning. On top of that, we are building our culture, civilization and knowledge, everything. And because it has started with the body, everything that comes after that must fail. It must fail. It cannot go because the fundamentals are wrong. Fundamentals are wrong. That is why Krishna is saying here, a realized soul has this understanding that the soul is what we are. We are not different from that. Sarva bhudam, sarva bhudatma atmanam, he says here. Though, so, yoga rudha, Krishna calls that word in the beginning of this chapter, isn't it? Aryarudshur munera yogam, yoga rudhastam uchyate. He says that yoga rudha and aryarudshur, two people Krishna discussed in the beginning of this chapter, if you remember. Aryarudshur and yoga rudha. Aryarudshur is the one who is on that path, yoga rudha is one who has reached that state. So, in the yoga rudha state, yoga yuktalma, that is that yoga yuktalma state Krishna is saying here. The ikshade yoga yuktalma, Krishna says. Yoga yuktalma means yoga rudha state. So, he acquires this realization. He gets this realization. Therefore, what happened? He is sarvatra samadarshana. Because of that, he is in that yoga state, sarvatra samadarshana. For him, everything in this world is samam. Samam means what? In the Shastram, samam means samadarshanam and vishamadarshanam, two things, samasthiti and vishamasthiti. Mind is, when you are seeing everyone different, all objects different, all living entities different, that is vishamasthiti. Vishamasthiti means that the mind is not projecting the right thing to you. Mind is projecting the false side of it. That is vishamasthiti. When it is projecting the right situation, the correct position, that is samasthiti. Samasthiti means in everything we are supposed to see only the soul, not the body. But over so many years of ignorance and avidya, that is what in Shastram call it as mula avidya. Mula avidya means the fundamental ignorance. Very fundamental ignorance is making us to think that we have this body, we have this mind or intelligence, whatever, and the false ego we identify with. So, samasthiti means that brahmasthiti or realized state or shanti or peaceful state. Whatever happens, that steadiness or samasthiti will not change for him. So, this brings us another point. So long as we have a mind inside, we have a mind in us, ragam, dvesham will be there. Attachment and aversion will be there. So, at that point what happens? Attachment to one thing and hate towards something else. Or attachment to one person, hate towards another person. This will happen. Isn't it? Ragadvesham means that. Attachment and aversion. Attachment and aversion. So, but if this self-realization has happened in a person, then wherever he looks, you know, on any object in this world, that equal state of mind will not change. Equal state of mind will not change. All the jnanis or the very advanced devotees, if you look at them, you will see that they look at objects, but they are not looking at the external side. They only see the soul inside that person or the object inside. Sarvatra samadarshanam. He has no vishamadarshanam. That is samadarshanam. Equal vision everywhere. So, initially it was all vishamadarshanam, isn't it? Vishamasthiti. But later on, it has become samadarshanam. So, once one person has reached that state of samadarshanam or equal vision, Krishna says here, so one who is seeing Krishna in everyone and one who sees everyone in Krishna. That is what the statement is, Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? one who sees Krishna in everyone and one who sees everyone in Krishna, which means one who sees the soul in everyone, one who sees the soul in everyone, and one who sees everyone as the soul. It is more or less the same thing, but it's spoken in a way as Krishna's presence in that living in. Krishna means this soul, nothing else. So one who sees Krishna in everyone, or one who sees everyone in Krishna, means one who sees the soul in everyone, and one who sees the soul, everyone as the soul. In other words, that is what it says. For him, there is no more dhyanam required. Meditation is not necessary. He's already reached that state. So dhyanam process, this chapter, sixth chapter, what we are discussing, is to bring us to that state. Is to bring us to that state of realization. To that state of realization. Because that is why Krishna is saying, he is not going to lose me anymore, and I'm always with him. Because in the next day, Yomam Pashyati Sarvatra, Yogi Krishna says in the next verse, if you say, look at there, you will see these two verses, you have to read it together. Because he says here, one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I'm never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. Because he has already reached that state where he is seeing the soul in everyone and everyone has the soul. For him, Krishna says, there is no special meditation required, no deity worship, no chanting the holy name, nothing is necessary after that, because he has reached that state already. That's why no meditation, no dhyanam, he has ultimately reached the goal of Bhagavad Gita. He doesn't need Bhagavad Gita anymore after that. You see, normally when we study any other subject, we keep the textbook with us after finishing, isn't it? But Bhagavad Gita is not like that. When self-realization happens, you don't need Bhagavad Gita anymore, because this Bhagavad Gita is meant to get us there, to that point. Same thing with Srimad Bhagavatam also. Mentioned this before. When Parikshit Maharaj left, he didn't take a copy with him, did he? Oh, Srimad Bhagavatam. Why? He should have said, okay, I could forget all the verses what he has said in the first canto. Maybe I will take a copy. No, he didn't take a copy. Why? Because he's reached that state. Isn't it? Brahma Bodho Mahayogi, Bhagavatam says. Mahayogi, pure, full realization. Brahma Bodha state has come to him. So where is the need for Bhagavatam after that? Brahma Bodho Mahayogi. Because in that state, perfectional stage, the faults have gone, all the mistakes have gone, disappeared, and is only seeing the soul in everyone. That is why it's mentioned like that in the Bhagavatam. You will see in the Dwadasha Skandam, in the 12th canto mentioned there like that. So, so having said that, he says here that once that experience has come, then you won't lose it again. You won't lose it again. So it is not possible to lose it, because when you start seeing, you will see like that every object in this world. Every experience is an experience of the soul then, not anymore matter. Today, when we experience something in this world, it is based on our senses, isn't it? Through senses we are experiencing everything now. But when in the state of self-realization, Krishna is saying there that all experiences in this world are spiritual then for him. It's not material anymore, not sense gratification anymore. It's all spiritual experiences for him. So, all experiences becomes experience of the soul. So, only at that stage, that is why the word sarvam is used there. If you look at that word, Krishna selected the words very precisely. Sarvam, he uses the word sarvam. Yomam pashyati sarvatra sarvam jamai pashyati. See the words. Yomam pashyati sarvatra. In everything, nothing you can exclude from that at that stage. And sarvam jamai pashyati. Everything in this world. In the Bhagavadam, it's put in a much more beautiful way. Khamvayum agnim salilam mahim cha. That a realized soul is wandering in this world. And who's saying this? I think it is Navayogis. Out of the nine yogis, I think it is Hari Maharshi saying this. Hari Maharshi is saying that. Khamvayum agnim salilam mahim cha. Kham, sky, vayu, air, salilam, the oceans, and Bhumi, the earth, Mahimja. Everywhere he is walking around, he is saying, Disho Dramadin, all the stars in the sky, the sun, the mountains, the rivers, the everything, the forests, and all the living entities in this world. Hare Shariram, this is all Krishna's body, he says. Hare Shariram Tasmed Pranamed Ananya. Saying this, he is paying obeisances to everything in this world. When he sees the ocean, he pays obeisances to the ocean. When he sees the mountain, he pays obeisances to the mountain. You can look at that verse in the Bhagavadam. I can't remember that whole verse. Kambayu magnim salilam mahimja dishodrumadin hare shariram pranamed ananya. It's all hari shariram. Hari shariram means Krishna's body. All this mountains, rivers, the oceans, and trees, forests, living entities, everything is Krishna's body, it says there. And pays obeisances. That is why Krishna says here that Yomam Pashyati Sarvatra Sarvancha Mai Pashyati. Realize the state, you can only see that. Everything is Krishna. Nothing different than that. Tasyaham na pranashyami. Therefore, he will not lose me anymore after that. So, therefore, Krishna mentioned here, because in Vyavaharam state, in transactions in this world, the only word you can use is Sarvam. Sarvam means everything. That's the only word you can use. Everything in this creation. So, that experience, what you have at that stage, is Advayam. Advayam means there's no duality there anymore. Duality exists for us at the moment, isn't it? We have duality all the time in our life, in everything what we deal with. In this world, there is duality. Duality means what? That we see that not just boy and girl, happiness and distress, that's all duality, no doubt about that. Day and night, that's duality. Black and white, that's duality. When you see a person, ragadvesham develops in one way or the other, in majority of the cases. Or, duality also makes us to think that person is different from another person. The differences between two individuals. That is duality. Why? Because in one person you see certain things, another person sees something different. Although both are made of the same material, which is what? The soul. The soul is a person. So, the duality goes away when self-realization happens. That's what Krishna says here. So, and not only that, when happiness comes and distress comes in life, when happiness comes you feel happy, when distress comes you feel miserable. That is duality again. That's all duality. Self-realized soul, for him there is no happiness, there is no distress either in this world. So always such a person, he is busy in glorification of the soul or glorification of Krishna. That is his main business. So even if he sits quietly without doing anything, even that is worshipping Krishna. Such a person who has reached that state of realization, even if he is not doing anything in this world, he is in samadhi state. That is his position. So that is why Krishna is saying here, for him, there is no regulative principles to follow. There is no austerities and penances to follow. Whichever state he is, because his consciousness has gone, reached that state of self-realization, and he is seeing only the truth in everything, every living entity, all the other things are secondary. They have no relationship with his existence anymore. Because he has crossed over all that things, he has gone beyond all that. Isn't it? I think we can understand that. That a person who has realized the self, he is not anymore under any obligations to anybody. If you remember, whether it is a devotee or a jnani, it's the same. It's not different. In the Krishna Karanamadam, we have the best example of a devotee who is self-realized. Who is that? Vilumangalam. Vilumangalam's famous example. In the Krishna Karanamadam, if you take in the third canto, you will see this verse. Sandhya vandana badramastu bhavado bhosnana dubhyam nama bodeva pitarascha tarpana vidho naham kshamakshamyadam yatra kvabikulot yadavikulotam sasya kamsadvisham smaram smaram akhilam haramitadalam manye kimanye name. Once Vilumangalam was sitting on the banks of the river and suddenly he fell into the samadhi state and he felt that Krishna was coming and sitting on his lap and he was busy with Krishna, observing Krishna. He was resting in his lap. And seeing in that state, he fell into a samadhi level. That time, Vilumangalam was a sannyasi at that time. Sannyasis have certain rules and regulations to follow. They have to bathe in the morning early, and they have certain duties to perform. They have their own nishtha or their own karma they have to perform in the morning. So Vilamangalam didn't do anything. He was sitting there like this. So because he was an elevated personality, all the predominating deities came to see him. Sandhyavandana Devada, they came to see him. Pitru Devadas, they came to see him. Snana Devada, she came to see him. And many other demigods also, they came to see Vilamangalam. They come to Vilamangalam and says to Vilamangalam like this, Vilamangalam, you are a sannyasi. Why have you not taken bath this morning? And why are you sitting here? It's already midday, middle of the day. You haven't done anything, any of your duties like this. At that time, Sandhyavandanam, at that time, Vilumangalam spoke this verse. Sandhyavandanam Bhadram. They have come to give their blessings to Vilumangalam. Vilumangalam says, I bless you, he says. I give you my blessings instead. Sandhyavandana Bhadram Astu Bhavado Bhosna Anadubhyam Nama. Snana Devada. That means for bathing also there is a deity. In relationship with deity. That you can only, we'll discuss that when we come to the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. What is this deity for bathing? People misunderstand these things, isn't it? This is why I'm saying, these are subtle things that you can't find out from the science. This has to come from Vedas, this understanding of bathing. What is bathing means? Who is this deity involved in the bathing? How one should bathe? What happens if you don't bathe in the proper way? All these things are there in the Vedic literature. So, Sandhyavandana Bhadramastu Bhavado Bhosnana Tubhyam Nama. Snana Devada, the deity in relationship with bathing, to her, Vilamangalam says, my blessings to you. Bho Deva Pidarascha Tarpana Vidhau. For Pitru Devada, he has to perform Tarpanam. That is a sannyasi's duty. So, to Pitru Devada, he is saying, I'm sorry, I can't do it for you anymore. That stage is over for me. I'm not anymore obliged to do that, he says. Tarpana vidhau naham kshama kshamyadam. Please forgive me because I am not able to do it anymore. He says. Why? He gives a reason in the next part of the verse. Yatra kvabhi nishotama yadavagulosam se kamsadvisham. That Kamsa's enemy, who has actually killed Kamsa, that personality is sitting on my lap here. Smaram, smaram, I am absorbed in his service. Krishna's service, in other words. Smaram, smaram, akam harami. Therefore, I don't feel that I have to perform these duties anymore. Anymore I have any more obligations to any of you. Smaram, akam harami, tadalam, manyeki, manyename. Therefore, please forgive me for not performing any of my duties to you. I have gone beyond that stage. I don't have any obligations to anybody. He says like that in the Karnamritam. So this is that state. A yogi or a jnani or a devotee who has reached that state, he can say goodbye to all these obligations in this world. You remember in the Bhagavatam also this is mentioned. In a different way it is mentioned there. What does it say there? In the Bhagavatam says that I remember that verse. Okay, we'll see later. Comes to me later. So that's the same thing he mentions here. That yomam pashyadi sarva bhudastam almanam sarva bhudani chalmani ikshade yoga yuktalma sarvatra samadarshana. He has reached that state of equal vision. We must understand these verses because otherwise it will all remain very completely Dutch to us. We won't understand what is he saying, what is Krishna saying. That's why it's important to go through these verses and to keep reflecting on it. Because this is the state what we should be aiming at, to get to that state. That's why he's saying this, otherwise there's no need to tell us these things, isn't it? What will happen to a person when he is self-realized? That is the state he is saying, isn't it? So, Bhagavatam says, Tetva Sodharmam Charanam Bujam Harer Bhajanyo Bhakeda Pade Tado Yadi Yatrakava Bhadrama Bhuda Mushegim Kovata Apto Bhajadam Sodharmada. Sri Narada Maharshi, when he saw Vedavyas, before he started writing Srimad Bhagavatam, he didn't tell Vedavyas, Vedavyas, go and write to Bhagavatam. That is not how he said. What did he say? He says to Narada Maharshi, he says to Vedavyas, now go into Samadhi state and whatever realizations that's coming out, speak about that, he said. And that is how Bhagavatam came out. In complete Samadhi state it was spoken. Vedavyasa Samadhi state is Srimad Bhagavatam. So that's why he said like that, Tektva Sodharmam Charanambujam Harer Bhajan. One who has given up all responsibilities in this world, completely everything, and taken complete shelter of Krishna. That means the devotee state, complete shelter of Krishna. Bhajan, and he has started that, completely surrendered to Krishna and took complete Krishna shelter in all situations in life. For such a person, bhajan, but in that process what happened was, he could not complete it in his life. He could not complete that in his, he didn't reach the perfectional stage. What will happen to him? That was the question came up there. And Narada Maharshi says there, Bhajan apakveda pade tado yadi. He did not reach perfection and he fell before he reached the goal. That means in this very life he did not become fully realized, self-realized. He has advanced very far, a long way he has gone, but he didn't make it. In other words, he didn't make it. He has gone so far, but he didn't make it at the end. Because Krishna is saying, we should make it before the death happens. That's more important. That is why he keeps on insisting throughout Bhagavad Gita, that if you don't take it seriously, the goal, then you will fall. Somewhere in the between, you will get distracted. That's why he keeps insisting. Remember in the second chapter, he said, Vyavasayalmiya buddhi ekeha kurunandana. If the goal is not defined very clearly, and if goal is not kept in the perspective all the time, you will fall. What happens to most of us is we get into the process and thinking that one day it will happen someday. When that day will come, nobody knows. But in that mood, we carry on doing things in this world. Krishna's point is, in spiritual life, it does not work like that. Spiritual life, process is not important, goal is important. In material life, process is important, goal is not the important thing. Goal, you may get it, because in material activity, say for example, you're managing a project, engineering project or something, you set up your process is more important for you, isn't it? If you lay down your process, if you sit there and talk about the final goal, it is not going to happen. Process is more important there, isn't it? Say for example, Olympics is coming in 2012 or something, so for that you have to build all these stadiums and all preparations they have to make. Now, if all the Boris Johnson and others sits there and says that it's all going to happen one day, the goal is this, this is the goal, it's not going to happen, isn't it? For him, process is important. Why? He has to do all the things what's necessary. He has to do it now, right now, before the time comes, and he should be prepared for that time when the Olympics happen. So the whole process is more important for him now than the goal at the minute. First thing is the process. He has to follow strictly and get everything what he has to done. But in spiritual life, it's the other way. Process, jnanam, karmam, bhakti, doesn't matter. You may even fall in your process. Doesn't matter. If the goal is strong in your mind, you will escape. That's the difference. You see the difference there? If your goal is strong in your head, you will escape from here. If the goal is not strong, you will never go. You will stay here. This is also guaranteed. This is why Krishna is saying there. The goal is more important, not the process. Process, it is not. Nobody can guarantee you that you will do a perfect process, because that is in Krishna's hands, not in our hands. It's Krishna's mercy which decides whether you should get back to spiritual level or not. You may fall many times in the process of self-realization. Many times you will not get anywhere. You may be wandering in the dark. What next? That question will come for everybody. It will happen. Many, many jnanis and yogis, they have gone through that state. It's not an unusual thing. But because the goal was firm in their head, they made it at the end. The goal. So that's why Krishna keeps insisting, fix the goal first. and hold on to the goal rather than to the process. Process we can't guarantee, because who knows, the modes of nature can change, our karma vasanas are different, our prarabdham is different, and so many other influences in this world. So sometimes you may feel, according to the modes of nature, your everyday sadhana will change, isn't it? Sadhana can change every day. One day you are sitting happily chanting the holy name. Very next day you're feeling, what's the point of doing all these things? A thought can come like that in the mind, isn't it? It's quite common, isn't it? In spiritual life it is like that. So therefore Krishna is saying that is not the important part of it. Important part is, have you decided that you want to escape from here or not? That's the first decision we have to make. And that is where we all have the problem. Problem is on the goal, not on the process. We say that, oh, if I do this process, that process, it'll be better. Because I'm not. So therefore, we do all the retreats and seminars and all kinds of things. We try to find some shortcut in all this. There's no shortcut in these things. The shortcut is not the question. Question is, nobody has decided that they want to leave this place. They want to stay here and establish an empire here. That's the goal. And so long as that is there, none of the acharyas, Shankaracharya, Ramanuja, Madhva, they all insist on this one thing. First fix your goal. If you come to spiritual life, fix your goal first. And when the goal is fixed, then all other things will naturally happen in the way it has to happen. Little drawbacks or shortcomings or fall downs in life is not so important. That's not so important. That nobody can get. That is in Krishna's hands. Because the devotee has left everything to Krishna at that point. That's what it is. So, after saying that, this self-realized soul we are talking about here, that person, whatever he does in his life is an austerity. Whatever he performs is a tapasya, or is something, is a spiritual activity it is, in that realized state. Whether he is eating, whether he is sleeping, and whether he is walking, all his activities are spiritual. I think we can understand that when you understand that person's consciousness. Only then you will understand that. Otherwise you won't understand. People ask, Arjuna asks the question, isn't it? How does he sit? How does he walk? How does he speak? Just like us, he's asking. We are thinking he may be talking it with a different accent or something after he self-realized. Arjuna's mind is going in that way. Maybe, you know, people misunderstand things like that. Does he speak in a very posh language? Or speaks like a... Or does he look in a different way? Because all on the bodily concept of life, you see. Arjuna has not gone beyond that. At that stage, when Arjuna is asking this question, that's why Krishna is clearing up all that at that point itself. That in a realized state, only in a realized way he can live in this world after that. He cannot live in the conditioned way anymore. Conditioned people give importance to all these things. Body, bodily movements, how he walks, how he sleeps. When you sleep, whether you realize soul or a conditioned soul. He's sleeping, isn't it? But the difference is, for a realized soul, when Krishna is saying there, is that he doesn't have dreams. He doesn't have a dream anymore. Dream state goes away. And what's happening is, the deep sleep state, what he is experiencing, that blissful nature, that permeates into the dream state as well as into the wakened state. What has happened in the deep sleep? In the deep sleep, he's only experiencing the blissfulness of the soul. When we understand these things, we say, Radharani. Who is Radharani? Radharani is our Chit Shakti. Isn't it? Chit Shakti is Radharani. What is Chit Shakti means? The soul has three features. What are they? Eternal, blissful, knowledge. Isn't it? The knowledge is Chit Shakti. That Chit Shakti is Radharani. And it is from Chit Shakti comes all the other things in us. Mind, the senses, the ego, the intelligence. These are all manifestations of that Chit Shakti. So, Satyajnanam Anandam Brahmam. Said eternal, full of knowledge and unlimited. That Chit Shakti is unlimited. In the conditioning, when we have touched that Chit Shakti inside and realize that, so what happens is, that Krishna says here that everything what comes is directly from Chit Shakti. It's not anymore under the condition of the body, mind and intelligence or the false ego. Therefore, all the activities that person is performing is directly under the influence of Chit Shakti. And that Chit Shakti is what we are worshipping as Srimati Radharani. generally what we will see, we'll see, oh, Radharani, she was born as son of Vrishabhanu, and we will relate with her in a purely in that level, isn't it? But we should know who is Radharani, what is her significance in relationship with spiritual life. This is the significance, that she is our Chit Shakti inside. That Chit Potency, as it's called, isn't it? Chit Potency is the name given here in the Bhagavad Gita. That is Radharani. So, coming back to this verse, he says here, that once he has reached that state, Krishna says here, once he has reached that state, that then it is not possible to lose it anymore. It is not possible to lose it anymore. And he says here, and in order to confirm that, Krishna says the next verse. To confirm that a person who has reached that state. Now, here, whatever you read in the Bhagavad Gita, what Prabhupada has spoken here, is all purely from a devotee side. That's why when you read it, you may see why I'm saying something different. The only difference is this, that Prabhupada is purely seeing as a devotee's position and explaining that, which is not different from a jnani's position either. Only difference, what you can say is this, that when realization comes, they are all in the same platform. They all realize the same thing. Not that only devotee will see the truth, jnanis won't. No, jnani see the truth. Jnani, a good jnani is a good devotee. And a good devotee is a perfect jnani as well. They are not different. You can't separate them out. Isn't it? And that is why in the Bhagavad Gita, when you look, some places Krishna glorifies jnanam like anything. Isn't it? He glorifies jnanam. Tesham evanigambartam aham ajnana jantama. Nashayam Atmabhavasto Jnana Dibena Vaswada. There is a verse in the Bhagavad Gita. I think it's the 8th or 9th chapter. That I give him this knowledge by which he can come back to me. He says, Tesham Evanagambartam Aham Ajnana Jamtama Nashayami Atmabhavasto Jnana Dibena Vaswada. The light of knowledge will burn inside. I'll burn that light, he says. Teshamaham samuddharta mrtyu samsara sagarat bhavamina jiralpartha mayaveshita chetasam. So, devotee and jnani, they are not different. But what happens when you read Bhagavad Gita, you have to know this relationship with jnanam, yogam, karmam, bhakti, everything. Otherwise, the tendency will be to separate it out and break away. Oh, the first six chapters is for karma, is not for me. The last six is for the jnani. I'm only busy with the middle six. So you can condense it like that way. That's not right. Because Bhagavad Gita was spoken as one by Krishna. Isn't it? So, that is the next verse. Let's look at that verse. So, just a minute. Therefore, so such a person, Krishna says, it's not necessary. And he's, while he is sleeping, he will not lose that. Even while he is sleeping. In samadhi state, in jagrat, in vacant state, dream state, he won't lose it. And similarly, when happiness comes, distress comes, heat comes, cold comes, in all these situations, he is still in that state of yoga, yogarudha state. So, therefore, it is, even if he performs some transactions in this world, vyavaharam, still, it will not affect him. It will not affect him. And once it has reached, his attention will not go away from that. So, we'll go to the next verse, which says about that, that is what Krishna is saying in the next verse. Verse 31. Sarva bhudastidam yomam bhajatyegatvam astidam sarvadavartamanobi sayogimai vartate sarva bhudastidam yomam bhajatyegatvamastitam sarvadha vartamanobi sayogi mai vartate. The yogi who knows that I and the super soul within all creatures are one, worships me and remains always in me in all circumstances. Isn't it? The yogi who knows that I and the super soul within all creatures are one, worships me and remains always in me in all circumstances. So, sarvabhudasthitam yo mam bhajati egatvam asthidaha sarvada vartamanovi sayogi mai vartade. That's what Krishna says here. That egatvam, Krishna says here, egatvam, isn't it? Sarvada vartamanovi bhajati egatvam asthida. Egatvam means what? Egatvam means oneness. Egatvam means oneness. Egatvam asthida. When self-realization happens, when he is realizing it is Krishna who is present in everyone, in the form of the soul who is present in everyone, there is no possibility of seeing different, isn't it? It is not possible to see anything different. That is why in the Upanishads the statement is Egameva Adyudiyam Brahma Deha Nanasti Kinchana. It says like that. So by now, all diversities or dualities has completely gone from that person. He realizes that there is only one truth. There is no two things. There is only one truth. That realization comes at that stage. That's what he's saying here. That when it comes to self-realized state, in the self-realized state, we will only see that oneness at that stage. Only see that oneness at that stage. There is no second truth after that. And how do we know? We know that in all living entities, it's he who is present. It is who is present. So, so what happens at that time, that in all living entities, Krishna gives this as a solution to a big problem we have in spiritual life. What is that big problem? Big problem is this. You know, when we start spiritual life, we start as Kanishtas, isn't it? Kanishtadhikari we call it. Kanishtadhikari means, what does that mean? We'll go to the temple. Krishna is only in the temple, nowhere else. Once we leave the temple, we will do what we want. That is Kanishtadhikari. That Bhagavatam talks about three different kinds of devotees. You know that, isn't it? Kapila Vasudev talks under three modes of nature. Krishna talks to Uddhava in three different states. Kanishta, Madhyama and Uttamadhikari. Is it not? You know that. In the Ekadasha Skandam, Krishna talks to Uddhava like that. Three different types of devotees. Kapila Vasudev says in three different modes they are. Sattvam, Rajas and Tamas. Goodness, passion and ignorance. So Kanishtadhikari, or the person who is in the mood of ignorance, he will go to temple and he will worship the deity. But for him, he does not have any consideration for others. He doesn't care anybody else who is only bothered about the deity and him. And his relationship with Krishna is like this. I have come to you because I have some problem, some distress. If you can help me, very good. I'll come, keep coming to you. But I don't want to deal with anybody else in the temple. I don't want to know anything what goes on there. That's not my interest. I have no time for that. I've got other things to do. So this mood, this is Kanishta's mood. Kanishta comes like that. He sees everything. There will be people. If you observe people, you will notice this very carefully. If you observe people who come, you can see this nature in many, many people like that. When they have some serious crisis in life, they'll come. And they'll come and they will say to Krishna, all these problems are there. And they will, after some time, if the problem gets solved, then they'll come again. If the problem didn't get solved, they'll go. You won't see them again after that. So this is that Kanishta nature. Kanishtadhikari's nature is like that. They have a different motive and goal, and that is that they want something from Krishna. And to fulfill that desire, they come. That's all. If the desire gets fulfilled, well and good. They'll keep the relationship going. If not, the chances are that it may not last very long. After that, you won't see that person anymore. This has happened in the Kanishta state. In the Madhyama state, when you come to the second stage, Madhyama Adhikari, what Krishna says is there, that he sees he sees Krishna in the temple, and to an extent, he also accepts the devotees. He accepts the devotees. With devotees, his relationship will be that Prayamam Maitri Kriva Ubeksha. That means, to Krishna, he has love. Friendship to those devotees who is with him in his journey, Prema Maitri, to those who are indifferent or critical, he will ignore them. And those who are ignorant, he will show mercy to them. This is Madhyamadhikari's platform, isn't it? Prayamam, Maitri, Kripa, Upeksha. Four things. Love for Krishna, friendship to those who are engaged in the spiritual life along with him, Maitri. And those who are indifferent, who has no interest, or who are, what do we call it, Udasinan. Udasin means, just like you meet people on the road, we have no interest in their life, they have no interest in your life either. They just go their way, you go your way. So that is relationship with them. With them our relationship is, we are not bothered who they are, where they are coming, where they are going, it doesn't matter. For them, only thing is Kripa. Kripa. If they talk to you, you may talk to them about Krishna consciousness and encourage them to come to spiritual life. But that is Kripa, that's mercy from Kripa. And then the last category is Upeksha. Upeksha means, no matter what you do, people will criticize you. Whatever you do, it's all wrong anyway. So, if that stage comes, all you can do is to ignore them. That's all, isn't it? So, Premam, Maitri, Kripa, Upeksha. Premam, love for Krishna. You are serious about spiritual life. You are studying the Shastram. You are following Shastram. And you have developed relationship with those devotees who have serious motive in spiritual life, who are serious about spiritual life. That's where you develop relationship with people, isn't it? That's Maitri. Then to those who are not interested, completely indifferent, Kripa, mercy to them. You are not hating them. Only thing is, because they are not interested in the same way you are interested in spiritual life, you just leave them to themselves, Kripa. And the last category, Upeksha, those who are against your spiritual path and who are giving you trouble in some way, in some form. Because once you take the spiritual life, everybody is your enemy, you have to remember that. Including your father, mother, everyone turns out at that point. You don't want all these, they'll say. So when it comes to that, you have to be careful. Therefore, Upeksha, it says, Premam, Maitri, Kripa, Upeksha. So that is why that difference. So Madhyamadhikari, or in the middle stage, a person will be like that. In his relationship will be like that. Then we have got the last one. Which one? The best one. Krishna says that, isn't it? Krishna says, Sarva Bhudeshu Yapashel Bhagavad Bhava Malpmana Bhudani Bhagavati Esha Savai Bhagavadottama. The first class devotee or a first class jnani, what's he like? Sarva Bhudeshu Yapashel. For him, there is no enemy in this world, no friend. All living entities, Bhagavad Bhavam. He is Krishna. Nobody else. He is Krishna. Whether he's your enemy, he is also Krishna. He has come in that dress in front of me. In that enemy is Agadvesham, isn't it? The mind has created enemy, friend, all these things. It's not coming from the soul. It's all within the mind only, nothing else. So he says here, Sarvabhudeshu Yapashel Bhagavad Bhavam Almana. So that is that state here, which Krishna says in the Bhagavadam to Uddhava, Sarvabhudeshu Yapashel Bhagavad Bhavam Almana Bhudani Bhagavatyesha Savai Bhagavadottamaha. That Bhudani Bhagavati Esha, in all living entities, only Krishna is present. Savai Bhagavadottama, he is that first class devotee. And it is not possible to reach that state overnight. It takes years and years of practicing this philosophy in life before we can think about it. But Kanishtadhikari state, at least Prabhupada says, at least you should come to the Madhyamadhikari's platform. If not possible, Uttamadhikari's is not possible, but at least Madhyama stage is necessary in spiritual life. As quickly as one can. So, one who relates in that way, even if he is engaged in all kinds of transactions in this world, Vartamanamabhi, Krishna says here, that Vartamanamabhi, Sarvada Vartamano Abhi, means, my Vartade, because he is situated in me, and let him play any game in this world, if he has reached that state. Which state? Which state? Krishna is talking about Sarvabhudasthidam Yomam. If he has reached that state, Sarvabhudasthidam Yomam Vajategatvam Asthida. Suppose he has come to the platform, Sarvabhudasthidam Yomam. In everything, if he is seeing Krishna, and he is seeing Krishna and everything in Krishna, in other words, as a soul, purely on the spiritual platform, if he is operating in this world, if he is living in this world, whatever transactions he is doing here. Transactions means vyavaharam, isn't it? Vyavaharam means what you know. I don't have to say. Vyavaharam means what we have to do in this world to live. We go to work, we do business, or we do so many different things. It doesn't matter. Krishna says here, whatever vyavaharam he does here, because he has reached that state, for him, nothing will happen to him. Loke vihara raghava vasishtam, yoga vasishtam. Vasishtha Maharshi says to Ramachandra, you can go and play this game now in this world. You are going to be a king. This is when Ramachandra came back after he went with Vishwamitra. At that point, Ramachandra became very very renounced from this world. Ramachandra didn't want to go out in this world. And just like Buddha was asking questions about the death and about various things, Ramachandra asked questions to Vasishtha Maharshi, and Vasishtha Maharshi gives Jnanopadesham to Ramachandra. And Ramachandra is realized, state that discussion between Vasishtha and Ramachandra, that's also in the Valmiki Ramayanam comes. And there, in Yoga Vasishtham, where it's talked about, Yoga Vasishtham, he says to him, to Ramachandra, Loke Vihara Raghava. After Ramachandra has heard everything from Vasishtha, he has understood, realization has happened to him because a source like Vasishtha has given him that understanding. And now, then he says to Ramachandra, now you can go take up the control of the Ayodhya kingdom, rule this world and rule like a king and play this card as you like. Nothing will happen, he says. Why? Inside the realized knowledge is there. Okay, Vihara Raghava, he says. Play your game in this world, whichever you like. So after self-realization, whatever you do in this world, it won't disturb inside. It won't disturb inside. Now we are concerned, aren't we? We are very worried. Suppose if I go and get involved in all these things, what will happen? My spiritual life will crumble next day. And this fear inside. Why? Because self-realization hasn't happened. But when realization happens, Krishna says here, that you can play, because you got the truth now in your hand, right in your palm. You got the truth inside. So for you can play whatever game and you won't lose anything. You won't lose anything. So you cannot even think that you're going to forget it. Because even if you want to give it up at that stage, in the self-realized state, you can't do that. So after self-realization happens, even if you want to come back to the conditioned state, it is not possible. So why? Because you yourself have become that at that stage. Your soul is not anymore dependent on the body, mind, intelligence and the ego. Rather, it is purely in its original state. As the Satta Chitta Anandam, in that function it is coming out from the soul. So Atmasthitam, he is situated in the soul, he has no other state, and for him mind, body, intelligence, none of them are a problem. And all the time he is only observing that truth in all his existence in this world, waiting for the body to drop one day and leave this world. And that is what Krishna says in the next verse. 32. Atmaubhamyena sarvatra samam pashyati yarjuna sukham vayadi va dukham sayogi paramomatam. Atmaubhamyena sarvatra samam pashyati arjuna sukham vayadi va dukham sayogi paramomata. Atmaubhamyena sarvatra samam pashyati arjuna sukham vayadi va dukham sayogi paramomataha. Translation: he is a perfect yogi who, by comparison to his own self, sees the true equality of all beings, both in their happiness and distress, O Arjuna. Is that the same in your book? Yeah. Mostly, yeah. Okay. So, Atmaubhamyena sarvatra samam pashyati Arjuna sukham va yadi va dukham sa yogi paramo mataha. Krishna says there, isn't it? So it's an interesting verse. Why? After He has seen the soul in everyone. He is showing the soul in everyone. He only sees everyone as a soul, not anymore in the bodily level, and sees everyone on an equal level at that time. And sukham va yadiva dukham, whether happiness comes or distress comes, like the way we do, that is not touching him anymore. It's not touching. See, you can only experience happiness and distress if you have a mind, isn't it? Otherwise, it's not. The world exists for us. Why? Because there is a mind there. Therefore, the world exists. If there is no mind, you cannot perceive the world, and the world doesn't exist. Same way, happiness, distress also is so long as the mind is there. But one who has started seeing the soul, everyone, the mind has already gone inwards towards the chit-shakti. It has gone and dissolved itself. There is no more mind for that person. If you say this to somebody, they get frightened. Oh, I'm going to lose my mind. That means I'm going to be put into some asylum or something. That's what normal people think, isn't it? But the real state is that without that mind, mind is nothing but, we know many times we discussed this before, some unknown power which comes from the soul, anirvachaniyam is called in the Shastram, and start working practically from the self-realized platform. We are all mad people in this world. It is we who should be put into the asylum, not they. But we lock them up saying that, oh, he has lost it. Isn't it? We lock them up saying that they have lost it. They are saying you have lost it. It's just to see the nature of this world. It is we who have lost it. And running around in this world, busy with millions of things, sorting out this world and getting everything right and busy with hammering here. They stopped hammering. Why? They realized the truth. There is no point in having to hammer here. They come to that realization. So that is what this problem is coming from. And in this verse, what Krishna is talking about here, that he has lost this identity with this world. There is no more mind anymore. So sugham dukham doesn't happen to him anymore. If somebody insults him, he doesn't take it seriously. It's only just words for him, some sound. That's all. If somebody glorifies him, it's also some sound. Nothing more than that. Doesn't take anything. We give meaning to the words, isn't it? And we start saying, oh, he has insulted me. He spoke me so badly. I'm going to deal with him in a different way. All this kind. This is all the mind that's playing the game. Isn't it? From Shastram, from the point of view of the realized state, they are just words. And who gave the meaning to these words? We gave it. Isn't it? Shastram didn't give it. So, you remember when children, they fight each other. One will swear at the other. And the other fellow gets so upset about it. And then they fight each other. All because of what? Because both children have accepted the meaning of that word is whatever that word meant. So, this is the way the Shabda Brahmam, Shabdam works in this way. So, meaning we have given to those words, isn't it? Therefore, we get offended by that particular word, whatever that's been called for. So, that's what Krishna, here, realized his soul, when he hears a sound, he just takes it as a sound vibration. He has no meaning for it, for him. Why? Because all these meanings, what we give to the word, has no sense as far as he is concerned. He's gone beyond that. So, those who are in the field of the mind and the body, they have to face all these problems. Face all these problems. So, but he knows nothing will happen to him. Why? He has that samadrishti. Samadrishti means equal vision in all the living entities. Samam pashyati sarvatra. Everywhere he sees the same thing. So, whenever he sees other people, because he is seeing the truth in that person, somebody asks us, what is the truth in me? The only truth in me is the soul. Nothing else is the truth, isn't it? Body will get one day finished and gone. Mind is also not a truth, because it's changing all the time. Intelligence is not the truth. That is also changing. Senses are not even the truth. When the body, senses also disappears with that. The only truth in us is the soul. Because this yogi, he is seeing only the truth in everyone, which is the soul, samam pashyati sarvatra. He is only seeing the equally everything. He is not concerned about the external covering anymore. External covering anymore. So, now here, there are different understanding from different commentators on this particular verse. Let me go through one or two of them. He says here, some people say that a realized soul will see the happiness of other people as his own happiness and the distress of other people as his own distress. This is one way people comment on this verse. That means if somebody is enjoying or happy, is happy in this world, you'll also be happy. Because he is happy, you are happy. And similarly, if you see somebody is in distress in this world, you also experience that distress. This is one commentary on this verse. Actually, that is wrong. We'll say why it is like that. If you start, because they do not accept this principle, that the jnani, he loses his mind at the time. He is saying, no, he still has the mind. He will experience others' happiness and distress as his own. This is out of goodness they are talking like this. But if you start liking like that, most of the jnanis and the yogis will be in distress all the time. You know why? Because there is more distress in the world than happiness. Isn't it? So if we start seeing others' happiness and this, there is very little happiness. Suppose you go out and look at everyone's face. How many people are happy? There's more people distress than happiness. So if you start taking all that on your shoulders, what will happen? You'll be in total distress all the time. But the fact is, jnanis are not in distress all the time. They are in reality. They have realized the truth. So therefore we say, that is not how it happens. That is not how it happens. This is Acharya Swamiji's comment on this. He explains this very well. He says there that that does not mean that when he is self-realized that he is going to take everyone's burden on his shoulder and start feeling happiness and distress. What does happen to him is that because he only sees the soul in that person, because he knows his happiness and distress is directly linked to his own prarabdham and his own sinful activities, whatever he has done. You can't feel sorry for all that. There's nothing you can do about it. Feeling compassion for him and thinking about it, oh, why the poor person is suffering like this. There is a reason behind it. Nothing in this world happened without any reason. There is definitely the person who has created us, created him, created everyone. He knows what everyone has to receive in this world as well. So therefore it says there, yogis will never have a time when they are free from distress. If you take that, if you accept that. On the other hand, So therefore that meaning will not be correct. So sukham va yadiva dukham. See that verse Krishna says there. Sukham va yadiva dukham sayogi paramo matha. Now if you look at the translation, it says there, who sees the true equality of all beings, both in their happiness and distress. How does that happen? That's important. That when somebody is happy or distressed, you are seeing that person purely as the soul and knowing very well his happiness and distress is only in relationship with the body and the mind. If you are seeing it like that, you are seeing perfectly. Otherwise, you are not seeing perfectly. On the other hand, if you also start getting affected by his happiness and distress, then you are actually, you'll be in distress most of the time. So that is what Krishna, that is the difference. Whether it is sukham va yadiva dukham. Why? Neither sukham nor dukham touches the soul. This is the important point. Neither sukham va yadiva dukham. Only then you can reach that state. You see, when we keep on looking at people through the body, everything that the other person is affected will be affecting you as well. But if you keep on looking at only at the soul of the living entity, others' happiness and distress are only in relationship with the body. That is the main thing. That's why Krishna is saying like that. Sukham va yadiva dukham sayogi paramo matha. Sukham va yadiva dukham. Then his happiness and distress will not disturb your mind. Will not disturb your consciousness, in other words. Disturb your consciousness. So what he does says, he sees his happiness and distress, immediately he goes to the platform of the soul. And see, saying that he is not suffering, his mind is suffering, his body is suffering, he is not suffering. This is the important thing. As much as he has seen within himself, he has accepted all happiness and distress not to touch himself, his own self. He also makes sure, in the same way, by looking at others, their happiness and distress is also not disturbing the soul. That is why I mentioned before, all the self-realized soul, if you go to them with all your material miseries, they will not give you any attention. two things they will do. Once you go there, first they will ask you, are you comfortable with your eating? And you've got something to eat? Are you happy? They will only talk to you about your body, not about the mind. Because mind is not a reality that keeps changing. Or if you have something to do with spiritual questions, they will answer that questions. They will talk to you about it. But they will not want to hear all your material miseries, what you brought with us to sort out. Because people go to them, isn't it? With this intention to ask about, I got this problem, I got that problem. Thinking that they will give some solution to the problem. They don't want to discuss that anymore because they know that it's a complete waste of time. Complete waste of time. Because of this, because that misery, what people are experiencing in life, is in relationship with the body and the mind. It's in relationship with the body and the mind. And there's no point in discussing that. It's unlimited. And it is not the truth also. The truth is, the soul is not affected. Why should we worry? He's there only to talk about the soul, not about the body and the mind. And they'll say, oh, okay, if you are sick, you go to a good doctor, get treated. Or if you have a problem with the mind, go to a good psychiatrist and get it treated there. But that's not our concern. Our concern is in the relationship with the soul. So therefore, whatever Krishna is talking about us, talking to, in the Bhagavad Gita, is always in relationship with the soul. If you keep that in the perspective, these conflicts won't happen. If you ignore the soul and start reading Bhagavad Gita, you will be confused all over. Everywhere there will be confusion, in every state. So that's the main thing. So, when all these things were spoken, when all these things Krishna has spoken to Arjuna, isn't it? So, Arjuna got a doubt now. As usual, Arjuna's doubt is very interesting at the moment. It says here that if everything else is not reality, that means body is not a reality, mind is not a reality, intelligence is not a reality, nothing is a reality, only the soul is reality as far as Krishna is concerned. That's what Krishna is saying to Arjuna. Only the soul is reality, isn't it? Nasade vidyade bhavo, na bhavo vidyade sada. Ubhayo iravidrishtvandam sthanayor tato darshivi. In the second chapter, if you remember, the most critical verse in the Bhagavad Gita, there itself, the learned person has separated it out. What is real and what's not real. Sat is the soul. Everything else is asat. In one house, wife, children, husband, or anything in this world is asat. That's the title as Krishna has given to that. So having spoken all that, it is from that level Krishna is speaking Bhagavad Gita. You have to remember that. Otherwise, when you start coming to a mundane level, bodily level, and we start looking at Bhagavad Gita, everything will be conflict to us. So Krishna is saying here, when Krishna spoke all these things, Arjuna still hasn't come to that platform. He's asking that. So his question was, that question can come to all of us also. Is it possible to reach that state? That's the first question. The same question, as I said, as soon as you walk out of the room, you will also say the same thing. You can sit and speak all these things. It's all not practical, they'll say. No, it's not practical. I have to go to work tomorrow. I have to earn my living. I got my wife and children at home. He can sit and talk all this philosophy. It's not going to help. Can I go and tell my boss that I'm spirit soul? Is he going to listen? He's not going to listen. So, this is the conflict, isn't it? And it's the same question Arjuna is asking Krishna now. The same question is coming from Arjuna also. Who can do all these things? This is the first question Arjuna is asking. Who can do all these things, especially with the mind what we have got? Because at least Arjuna has come to understand that the mind is the problem. So, he says to Krishna that with these situations, who can do in these? Is it all possible what you are talking about to do it? So let's look at that, how Arjuna's two questions now, in the next two verses, 33 and 34 is Arjuna's doubts. Remember I mentioned the other day, the virus, the bacteria, Arjuna's virus is this. This is the virus Arjuna has got. It's H1N1. It's the worst you can get. And if you have this virus, other virus doesn't matter. If you go to any satsangam with this virus, then you are causing a lot of problem for so many people. Because you're trying to understand Bhagavad Gita and somebody comes and tells you that, oh, this is all not practical. If it was not practical, why Krishna has spoken all this evening? Krishna is wasting his time to tell us something which is not practical. It is practical and people have realized it. So it is their route that what we have to follow. We may not get there today or tomorrow, but someday we will get there. That guarantee is there in the Bhagavad Gita. But if you don't start now, when is it going to happen? It will never happen, isn't it? If you sit there and continuously, what do they call it, procrastinate, or saying that, oh, this will never, it will never be possible. But it is possible, that is why Krishna has spoken that. And how it will happen, when it will happen, that we don't know. That is in Krishna's hands. But it will happen. Otherwise, Krishna will never say these things. And such an important literature, Bhagavad Gita, millions and millions of people all over the world read Bhagavad Gita and they see the spirit of Bhagavad Gita and Krishna's instructions, the value. It is not sectarian, it is not related to any particular religion or anything. It is a science of the soul. That we have to recognize this first. It's a science of the soul. It has nothing to do with any religion, or it's not a religion, it's a science. The science of the soul. You don't see Krishna talking anything sentimental here, do you? Everything is based on realizations and based on the authorities, what Krishna is quoting here from the Upanishads. So, let's look at those verses. Arjuna uvacha. Yoyam yogastaya proktam. Samyena madhusudhanam. Etasyaham na pasyami. Chanjalatvas tidim stiram. Arjuna uvacham. Yoyam yogastvaya proktam. Samyena madhusudanam. Etasyaham na pasyami. Chanjalatval sthidam stiram. And the next verse, text 34. Chanjalam hi mana krishna. Pramadhi bhala valdridam. Tasyaham nigraham manye. Vayorivasu dushkaram. Chanjalam hi mana krishna. Pramadhi bala valdridam. Tasyaham nigraham manye. Vayorivasu dushkaram. Arjuna vacha. Yoyo yogastvaya prokta. Samyena madhusudhana. Edasyaham na pasyami. Chanjalatval sthidim sthiram. Translation. Arjuna said, O Madhusudana, the system of yoga which you have summarized appears impractical. Arjuna is saying, it's impractical. And unendurable. It's not possible to me. For the mind is restless and unsteady. So you can see, he is very much contaminated. Arjuna has got the virus very well inside, isn't it? And when in the next verse he says, Chanchalam hi mana krishna pramadhi balaval dridam. Tasyaham nigraham manye vayoriva sudushkaram. Translation, for the mind is restless, turbulent, obstinate and very strong. O Krishna, and to subdue it is, it seems to me, more difficult than controlling the wind. So, he thought probably that if Krishna doesn't understand the mind, let me give him some comparison. Like Krishna was giving to Arjuna, Arjuna is also now giving comparison. Like wind, he says. Krishna has not understood what it is. So, this is where Krishna's, the Supreme Personality's nature, you have to look at this. He is not completely putting down Arjuna there. Have you noticed that? When Krishna answers this question, he won't put down Arjuna completely. He says that, oh, you're a total nonsense. He didn't say like that. He says to Arjuna, Arjuna, whatever you said is true, but, he says, there is a way to get out of it. So otherwise, you see, if you tell a student outrightly that, it's very difficult, it's not possible to do it, or if you completely discourage him, saying that you're always saying problem, better you don't come for Bhagavad Gita, you go and do what you like. If you talk like that, that's not the right way. Arjuna, we have learned that from Krishna's position. Krishna is saying there, It is difficult. I agree with that. He says it is difficult. All this what I have spoken is very difficult, he says. But it is possible to get over it. That's how Arjuna's Krishna deals with Arjuna. Never says any time to Arjuna, it's not possible. No, he never agreed with that. Let's look at those verses. Arjuna's question was, so, this yoga system what you have spoken, that means this yoga where your mind is in that state of sama state, it's always in a balanced state, that I cannot even visualize this in my own mind. I can't even visualize this. this shanti or peaceful state or yoga sthiti, what you have called that, though some people you can see when we keep discussing Bhagavad Gita, they will hear everything. They'll be thinking in their own mind inside, what is he talking about? All these things. What is he talking about? He's saying so many things, Brahman, Jivan, and Atma, Maya. What's all these things? So many people like that when they come first time, who have no idea about spiritual life and who have no interest in any of these things. They'll come, some abstract thing he's discussing. Nothing is clear. Maya is not clear. Jiva is not clear. Karmam is not clear. Brahman is not clear. Nothing is clear. So you are discussing on this topic such a long time, hours and hours you are discussing this. So what is this discussion about? I'll ask that question all the time. So that is the state that but while hearing, they feel some happiness inside at the same time. Although it is like that, while hearing, they feel some happiness from that. There is something in there, but they're not getting it, what it is. What we are talking about. This state is called Vishamasthiti. Vishamasthiti is like that. Vishamasthiti means, when you hear that, it makes some sense inside. You get a feeling that there is something which is beyond this body. Because everybody knows that, isn't it? We all know that we are not this body. Only thing, we are not realizing it, that's all. Everybody knows, it's not very difficult to understand, we are not this body. Anyone will easily accept that principle, that I am not this body. But the fact, problem is, that due to our long time identification with the body and the mind, we have lost that contact with the soul, our pure identity, we have lost it somehow, and we are suffering because of that, unable to come out of that. So that, everyone is in that state, practically. So on behalf of us, Arjuna is asking this question to Krishna. He says here that we say, oh, reflect on the soul. Engage in the self-analysis of the soul. If you say to somebody, he will say, and take your mind and place the mind in the soul, which Krishna spoke before, isn't it? In a few verses before, Krishna spoke about placing the mind in the soul. You remember? That how to withdraw the mind from the world outside and free the mind from the influence of the senses and completely absorb in the thoughts of the soul. Nothing is going in. Nothing is not going in. So everyone, often people will ask this question, how do I do this reflection? How do I do mananam? How do I do contemplation? All these questions will naturally come. In the Vedanta system, they have three things to do. Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. They call it like that. Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. What it means is, Shravanam is the hearing process. Hearing, proper hearing of the truth from a realized soul. You have to hear from a realized soul. Only then it will have its complete effect. That's a fact. That's a fact. Only if you hear from a realized soul, the effect will be definitely happen to a person. So that is Shravanam. That Shravanam, similarly, the next step after hearing the truth, Mananam happens. What is Mananam means? Mananam means what you have heard from the authority, you take it inside and then ponder over that again and again and again. You know, in Upanishads there is what is known as Mahavakyam. Tattvamasi, Aham Brahmasmi, Prajnanam Brahma, Ayam Atman Brahma. These are the four. There are many Mahavakyams in the Upanishads, but these four are considered to be the most important ones. Why they are important? Because they point to the truth directly pointing to the truth. So when Mahavakyam Upadesham or Mahavakya instructions are given to a person, he takes it and then immediately he reflects on that. His reflection starts from there, for which all so many Prakrata Grandhams are available to help you to go in that direction. Prakrata Grandham means, based on this knowledge, books that were written by the Acharyas to help us increase our understanding, to engage our mind and thoughts in that particular topic, what they have spoken, and to expand our understanding, all the Prakarana Grandhams were written. And through study of this Prakarana Grandham, you will get a deeper and deeper understanding, because you have absolute faith in the teacher who has spoken, absolute faith in the Shastram, what you are studying. You know that it is, truth is there, only thing, I'm not getting it. That is the state where you are at that point. You have accepted the authority of the Shastram. You have not questioning the Shastram anymore. You are completely convinced the Shastram is right. That means what Shastram is talking about is 100% correct. But you have not realized it yet. You are in that situation. In other words, you are sincere in your approach to the... That is what is called Shraddha. Shraddha is this. Shastrasya Guru Vakyasya Satya Buddhava Dharana Sa Shraddha. So, after hearing, Shravanam has happened, that person who has got Shraddha, he will take it to the next stage called Mananam. Reflection will start. When reflection, or what they call also contemplation of the truth, isn't it? And in order to strengthen his contemplation, he takes all the help from this Prakarana Grandham. Various Prakarana Grandhams are written there on that. So many. And that's all from different angles the Acharyas are analyzing this, because they are already realized soul. They can tell you all these things. And from that he takes the help what he needs, and with that he does this process called Mananam, reflection or contemplation. After that, what will happen to him is that he will start experiencing the truth little by little. He will start experiencing the truth, because realization must happen to such a person. And when he gets it, he holds on to that without leaving that. A little realization if you get in life, you should hold on to that realization. It's the same in Jnanam process and Bhakti process. It's not different. In Jnanam process, he follows the realization of the soul and he holds on to that. In Bhakti process, what do? Sometimes we get some mercy from Krishna in some form, isn't it? Every devotee gets some mercy from Krishna, little by little. Everyone knows, everybody gets it, but you don't tell to others that what mercy Krishna has shown to you. But at some stage in life, some kind of mercy comes from Krishna for a devotee, one who is chanting the holy name. And only a devotee will know that. Krishna knows that. Nobody else will know that. That's purely between Krishna and the devotee. Nobody else have any right to ask what it is and what not. Any details of that. That's between the devotee and Krishna. So that realization, when one gets, whether he's a jnani or a devotee, he has to hold on to that. And that is Nididhyasana. That's called Nididhyasana. Because when you get a direct experience of Krishna consciousness in some form in life, at some point you get some direct experiences of Krishna consciousness, you will never leave Krishna consciousness again. It's not impossible for you to leave it. No matter what happens in life, it will come to your shelter, because you know that even in the greatest crisis, Krishna is there to help you. Krishna will help you. What will happen in life, nobody knows. Nobody knows what will happen today, tomorrow, day after. What will happen, nobody knows. But if you had this experience of Krishna consciousness, never again in life you will be able to forget Krishna consciousness. Because that is very specific for you and for your own experience, and which will never leave you again for a devotee. For a jnani, in his process of self-realization, he comes to this stage somewhere, he has some realization he has of the soul in his, and that is the stage when he turns into Nididhyasanam. Nididhyasanam happens at that point, that he uses that realization and holding on to that, then he continues his spiritual life further from there. He takes it further from there. So this is how spiritual life happens in a jnani as well as a devotee. They're all saying, there's not practically the way that the terminology may be different, but the actions are more or less the same. So So Arjuna says here, cannot understand anything. He says, Chanjalam hi mana Krishna. Mind is so wavering, he said. And then he says to Krishna, for you it's okay, like we say, isn't it? For you it's okay. You are running around, you got 16,108 wives, you are having a good time, married life and householder, you got everything. My situation is different. This is Arjuna's mood, like we talk about it, isn't it? For you it's okay, but for me I got so many other things, responsibilities in life, this, that and the other. So that's the same way, you are playing around and wandering around all over. And you are always peaceful also at the same time. Nothing is disturbing you either. Whereas for me, I am always disturbed, Arjuna is saying like that. So this is not our situation, so Arjuna is saying like that. And he says to Krishna that only if you get into the mind and look inside, you know how problem it is to do all these things, what you are talking about. Pramadi balaval dridam, he says there. Chanchalam hi mana Krishna, pramadi balaval dridam. So, and this mind is giving us a lot of trouble. Mind is giving us a lot of trouble. And not only that, mathanam means it's churning inside. The mind is getting churned inside. And not only that, it is shaking us also when it is churning like that. Even for a short while, if I get some shanti or peace inside, immediately the mind is disturbed. Some other thought waves comes and immediately I get up from my seat and start doing what next I have to do. This sitting quietly in one place is a big science. That itself is a big science. We find that very difficult, isn't it? To sit in one place quietly for 5 or 10 minutes, even very hard. We decide to sit for 5 minutes, sit there, in 2 minutes we get up for some minutes. Everybody has this experience, isn't it? Everybody has this experience, isn't it? To sit for hours and hours together without doing anything, that is self-realization. That's all it is. That's all it is. So many, many great yogis and sages have said this. Just sit quiet. And that you can't do. Then you want self-realization. How is that possible? They'll ask you back the same question. He says, so that is, he says here, Vayoriva Sudushkaram. If you try to control the wind will escape somehow. So similarly, Arjuna is saying here, it is that difficult to control this thing called the mind. What is Krishna's answer? Krishna didn't say to Arjuna. So he didn't say it is very easy, but he says here, a patient, when his sickness becomes very serious, severe, a lot of pain in the stomach, or he goes to the doctor. And if the doctor says to you, hey, you have no problem, everything is fine with you, what will happen? It's the same thing here. Arjuna is going with the sickness problem. He's got an illness. Problem is that his mind is uncontrolled. And it is throwing him in a very disturbed situation. So Krishna didn't say to him, oh no, everything is fine, nothing wrong with you. He didn't say like that. So, so first thing Krishna does is he admits, yes, you got this problem. You got this problem. And once some doctor says to you, yes, yes, I understand, you got a problem, then you feel a lot of relief at that time, isn't it? Whereas you go to the doctor and you say to the doctor, she'll know because a lot of people come to her surgery, so she'll know that. So when doctors come, when doctors tell the patient, it's 50% your pain is gone more or less, at least you know that somebody recognized my problem. Whereas at home you tell your wife will tell you, oh no, there's nothing wrong with you, you look okay, what's problem with you? Or the children will say the same thing, and that's the way it is. But you go to the doctor and doctor says to you that, yes, there is a problem, understand what it is, and then you feel a lot of relief. At least now you can talk about the solution to the problem, isn't it? So that is the same approach Krishna is taking here while dealing with Arjuna. So allowing that, Krishna says in the next verse, you can see what, because Arjuna's two verses, there's no point in discussing this because we all very well versed in those two verses. So we won't discuss that. Let's go to the Krishna's answer to that. Shri Bhagavan Uvacham. Asamshayam Mahabaho. Mano Durnigraham Chalam. Abhyasena tu Kaunteya Vairagena Jagrihyate. Shri Bhagavan Uvacham. അസംശയം മഹാബാഹോ മനോ ദുർനിഗ്രഹം ചലം അഭ്യാസേന തു കൗന്തേയ വൈരാഗ്യേന ജഗ്രഹ്യതേ. അസം ശ്രീ ഭഗവാൻ വാച, കൃഷ്ണ ഇസ് സെയിങ് അസംശയം മഹാബാഹോ മനോ ദുർനിഗ്രഹം ചലം അഭ്യാസേന തു കൗന്തേയ വൈരാഗ്യേന ച ഗൃഹ്യതേ. വെരി സ്ട്രെയിറ്റ് ഫോർവേഡ് ആൻസർ. ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് പോസിബിൾ അർജുന. സംശയം, നോ ഡൗട്ട് വാട്ട് യു സെഡ് ഇസ് ഓൾ ട്രൂ. മനോ ദുർനിഗ്രഹം ചലം, ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് വെരി ഡിഫിക്കൽട്ട് ടു കൺട്രോൾ ദ മൈൻഡ്, ബട്ട് അഭ്യാസേന തു കൗന്തേയ വൈരാഗ്യേന ച ഗൃഹ്യതേ. ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് പോസിബിൾ ത്രൂ അഭ്യാസം ആൻഡ് വൈരാഗ്യം, ടു തിങ്സ്. യു ക്യാൻ സീ ഇൻ ദ ലാസ്റ്റ് വേഴ്സ് പ്രഭുപാദ് ഹാസ് ഗിവൺ Chanchalam hi mana Krishna, the last verse, that is 34. Prabhupada quotes that verse, Atmanam Radhinam Vidhi. That's a famous verse from Kathopanishad. You see that verse in the purport? That verse we must always remember. That verse is that what we are. Atmanam Radhinam Vidhi, Shariram Radhameyavaja, Buddhistu Saradam Vidhi, Mana Pragrahameyavaja. ഇന്ദ്രിയാണി ഹയാന്യാഹു വിഷയാം സ്തേഷ ഗോചരാൻ ആത്മേന്ദ്രിയ മനോയുക്തോ ഭോക്തി ത്യാഹുർ മനീഷിണ. യു വിൽ ബി അമേസ്ഡ് ബൈ ദി ക്ലോസ്നെസ് ഓഫ് കഠോപനിഷത്ത് ആൻഡ് ഭഗവത്ഗീത, ഹൗ ക്ലോസ് ദേ ആർ ഇൻ എവ്രിഥിങ്. ആൻഡ് ഇഫ് വി ഗെറ്റ് ടൈം, സം പോയിന്റ് ഇൻ ടൈം, വി വിൽ ടേക്ക് ഭഗവത് കഠോപനിഷത്ത് ഓൺ ഇറ്റ്സ് ഓൺ ആൻഡ് ഡിസ്കസ് ഇറ്റ്. ഇറ്റ് ബി വെരി ഇൻട്രസ്റ്റിംഗ് ടു സീ ഹൗ എൻജോയബിൾ ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് വിത്ത് ഭഗവത്ഗീത ടുഗദർ. And the connection between the Kathopanishad and the Bhagavad Gita. Why I am saying that is, just to understand that all Vedic literature has only one subject to talk about, the soul. All Upanishads have only one subject to talk about, the soul. No interest in the body, male body, female body, ugly, beautiful, all these have no importance at all, black, white, this is not the issue. Issue is, what is the soul and what is the soul's connection with the Upadhi? Upadhi means all the body and all the other things. To get that clarity, it is important to study these Upanishads. They will take you to that state. When you study Bhagavad Gita, if you study these Upanishads as well, along with that, particularly Kathopanishad, this is such an important, among the 10 major Upanishads, the Kathopanishad is one of the most important ones. There is no one, especially in all the sampradayas, in all the paramparas, everybody, whether it is Shankaracharya's, Ramanuja's, Madhva's, Vishwaswami's, all along with Bhagavad Gita, they will study Kathopanishad because of the relationship between the two. So that's why Prabhupada has quoted that verse in the last purport, which you can see there. Atmanam Radhinam Vidhi, Shariram Radhameyavaja, Buddhistu Saradhim Vidhi, Mana Pragrahameyavaja, Indriyani Hayanyahu, Vishayam Stesha Gocharan, Almendre Manoyuktu, Bhoktyati, Bhoktyatyahur Manishina. So I'll just read the translation. The individual is the passenger in the car of the material body, and intelligence is the driver. Mind is the driving instrument, and the senses are the horses. The self is thus the enjoyer or sufferer in the association of the mind and senses. So it is understood by great thinkers. So you can see, Bhagavad Gita is spoken. It's exactly like in the way this Kathopanishad verse is there. We have Krishna, we have been presented with this. We had one, this thing, isn't it? Let's go. Where we had that chariot, remember? That thing, what is shown in the Bhagavad Gita, I think I have taken that. This is that Upanishad verse. This is what it is. This picture in the Bhagavad Gita, this is that verse. This verse, Atmanam Radhinam Vidhi, Shariram Radhameyavaja, Buddhistu Saradhim Vidhi, Manaprakrahameyavaja, Indriyani Hayanyahu, Vishayan Teshu Gocharan, Atmendriya Manoyukto Bhoktetyahur Manishina. It says here, the individual is the passenger in the car of the material body, intelligence is the driver, mind is the driving instrument, and the senses are the horses. Self is thus the enjoyer or sufferer in the association of the mind and senses. So it is understood by great thinkers. We give importance, we will say that, you see, when we study Bhagavad Gita, the subtle side of this is all these things. normally what do? We think, how big is this Kurukshetram? We ask the first question. How many square miles it's there? And how big is Krishna's chariot? How many seats are there inside the chariot? And how good are the horses? Are they the best horses from the Sindh or somewhere else? And this kind of, we are interested in the external things of the chariot and driver. Where Arjuna sat, one person asked one very silly question. Silly means very intelligent question also at the same time. His question was, if you look at that Bhagavad Gita picture, you see, Krishna is standing here and he is speaking to Arjuna. Arjuna is sitting at the back, isn't it? That means Krishna has to turn his head all the time like this. So his question was, most interesting question was, Krishna was not getting pain here after keeping his head like this all the time. Now what do I supposed to answer to that question? If Bhagavad Gita is only centered around pain and bodily problems, the whole discussion is about the soul. But that was his question after the whole 18 chapters listening. He had only one question to ask, and that was he feeling the pain by turning the head like this? So this kind of questions are, that's why we don't want questions. Question answers is not a good thing. We'll stick with what Krishna says and we'll discuss that. And that is the best thing to do. So here, Krishna is saying that the Kathopanishad verse, if you study Kathopanishad and if you understand Bhagavad Gita in the light of Kathopanishad, it will all make a lot of sense. The power of the Upanishads is flowing through Bhagavad Gita and through Srimad Bhagavatam also. This is the same thing what we are studying in Ekadasi Skandam, nothing different. But Ekadasi Skandam is much more advanced state. Much more advanced state. We will not reach there. That is also guaranteed. Ekadasi Skandam's knowledge is so high, impossible to reach there in this state. But why do we study then? There is also another question, isn't it? If it is impossible in this life, it may be impossible. But the reason why it's spoken, Krishna also says that in the Bhagavatam. If you keep on talking about it, if you keep on talking and hearing about it, it will stay somewhere inside. And when a crisis comes in life, it will come to your help at that time. You'll start seeing things in a different perspective. That is the reason why we should study Ekadasham. Even though it is difficult, when you read Ekadasha Skandam, it's very, very difficult. 13th chapter, we discussed that, isn't it? 10th one, how difficult it is. It is not easy. What Krishna is saying is not easy. We know. And at some point in time, you even think, is it worthwhile reading Ekadasha Skandam anymore? You'll come to that conclusion even, because it's so difficult. And because it is the very cream of Upanishads in there. You know, Krishna has taken the whole juice out of the Upanishads and put it in the Ekadasi Skandam. And that's why Srimad Bhagavatam is so respected, both by Advaitis, Dvaitis, Vishishtadvaitis, everyone. Because everything is there in the Bhagavatam. If you want Dvaitam, Dvaitam is there. Vishishtadvaitam, Vishishtadvaitam is there. Advaitam, Advaitam is there. Everything is there in the Bhagavatam. So it satisfies everyone. Nobody can stay away from Bhagavatam. The one who is Advaiti, he'll be very peaceful, happy with that study Ekadasi Skandam. He feels great bliss in that. The Dvaiti will find great happiness in the 10th canto. And like this, Vishishtadvaiti finds happiness in so many other places. So Bhagavatam is, everyone respects that. That is why you find Bhagavatam is not only with Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition. You should not misunderstand that. Everybody else studies that. Sridharacharya Swamiji, who wrote his famous commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, he was an Advaiti. He was not coming from a different tradition altogether. We still respect that, his commentary. And Jiva Goswami wrote commentary based on the Gaudiya tradition, isn't it? Vishwanatha Chakravarti's commentary. All are based on the Gaudiya tradition. But Advaitam is what he has spoken. Sridhara Swami's commentary on Ekadasham is purely Advaitam. It is, everybody knows that. And so it's dear to them, dear to us. Vishishtadvaitis, the Advaitis, they find, Ramanujacharyas, they find great happiness. It's all about Krishna and Krishna consciousness. So they find great pleasure in that as well. So Bhagavatam pleases everyone in that way. So what I'm saying is that in Srimad Bhagavatam, everything is there. Ramayanam is there, isn't it? Chapters of Ramayanam referring to Ramachandra's pastimes. Valmiki Ramayanam is condensed in two chapters in the 9th canto. Mahabharatam is already there. Whole of 9th canto is Mahabharatam. So Ramayanam and Mahabharatam is there. Upanishads are there in the 11th canto. It's full of Upanishads. All the Puranas are there. Malsya Puranam, Vamana Puranam, Varaha Puranam, Narasimha Puranam, they are all brought into Bhagavatam. Is it not? You know that Narasimha story is there, isn't it? Seventh canto is all Narasimha Puranam. Now, eighth canto is all Malsi Puranam and also the Vamana Puranam. That is all the eighth canto is. So, Vedavyasa Maharshi, when he compiled Srimad Bhagavatam in his Samadhi, all he was experiencing, the summary of all this literature, what he has compiled before. But that realization in Samadhi state is Srimad Bhagavatam, which he taught. And Sukadeva Goswami found that very beautiful when he heard Bhagavatam, isn't it? He found it very beautiful, the way the truth is presented through Srimad Bhagavatam. So that is why I was saying that we will discuss Kathopanishad at some point in time later, and you will see the beautiful presentation of Bhagavad Gita, how it has come from Kathopanishad in a particular way. It's taking that verses from Kathopanishad. There are many other verses also. I mentioned at different times earlier when we discussed the second chapter and others that these verses are from Kathopanishad. I did mention that before, didn't I? So you remember that. So what does Krishna say here? Asamsayam, asamshayam mahabaho mano durnigraham chalam. Abhyasena the kaunteya vairagena jagrihyate. Krishna says, mahabaho. Mahabaho means what? One who has got very strong arms, powerful arms, Arjuna. To him he says here, Arjuna, you are a person with strong hands, isn't it? So, why did he say mahabaho? That's also interesting. In other words, you are saying you are very powerful, but your strength is only in the body, not in the mind. In other words, Krishna is giving a little indication to Arjuna that you are bodily, you are very strong, but on the mental level, you are not yet in that stage. So, there is no doubt about it, says. So, therefore, this doubt, mano durnigraham chalam. But don't say that it is impossible and move away. Don't say it is impossible, he says. Mano durnigraham chalam. Suppose you get a sickness. Arjuna, Krishna's point is, suppose you get ill. You don't say it is impossible and not do anything about it, isn't it? You will do something as much as possible. You will try to get rid of the illness. So that's the same approach Krishna is saying here. Then you will do some treatment. Somehow or the other, you'll try your best. Ultimately, you may give up. It's nothing is possible. You may give it up. But you won't stay quiet saying that, oh, it's not possible to cure in that way. Similarly, Krishna says here, mano nigraham, or although it is different, asamshayam mahabaho mano durnigraham chalam, that it is very difficult. Krishna agrees that mano durnigraham, it is very, very difficult to control the mind, but abhyasena the kaunteya vairagyena jagrihyate. Said abhyasam and vairagyam, two things Krishna says, abhyasam and vairagyam. Abhyasam means, so everything you can see in life, it is abhyasam, isn't it? People succeed in life due to abhyasam. You know, these people who play in the top level tennis in Wimbledon and all that, how many hours they practice, that is abhyasam, isn't it? Swimmers, how much they swim to participate in event in Olympics or all that, for a few minutes, 5 minutes or 10 minutes they may swim in the Olympics, but the amount of energy they put into it for training, that is abhyasam. So Krishna is also pointing out exactly the same thing. Abhyasena do kaunteya vairagyena cha grihyate. So just like this, in circus, you know, in circus, there's so many things they do, isn't it, in circus. So sometimes people walk over a tight rope. They practice it, isn't it? They practice walking on a tight, which probably sometimes swings, and they have to learn how to walk over it from one end to the other, a few 10 or 20 meters, which is tied at a very higher level. So that when they walk, everyone starts thinking, how can they? That's abhyasam, isn't it? Just by practice alone. So that did not happen one day. He has been trained, he has practiced it, and he has reached that stage. On the other hand, one who has fully drunk, for him, even if you give him a motorway, he will go and fall in the side to walk. Is it not? Suppose you tell him the road, that road goes there, so it's a gully way or some alleyway, you show it to him, say, go in there. He will definitely won't get there. Because while walking, he will hit all the trees and the plants on all the sides, and he'll hit somewhere and he'll fall, and he'll blame the road straight away. The road is not straight, he will say. Is it not? But even if you give him a motorway, he won't get there. He won't be able to walk, even if, say, motorway is built all wide, all the way along to his house, he won't be able to get to the house. He will hit somewhere and he'll fall there. So, abhyasam is what? Abhyasam means this, that you have to know what you want, first thing. So, so similarly, we are drunk like alcohol with ignorance. That's what it is, Krishna is saying. We are drunk with this alcohol called ignorance, and that is why we are not getting there. We are not able to devote our time and energy for abhyasam. We are not able to devote our time and energy for abhyasam because ignorance is so deep-rooted inside. Therefore, we find it that as soon as you start doing, reflecting on the soul, immediately we get up, oh, I have to pay that bill, I've forgotten that, and got up straight away. Where is the analysis of the soul then? You sat there, you heard everything from Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Kathopanishad, everything. You sat there to discuss and to think about that. Suddenly phone rings or something else happens, you got up. For such person, Krishna says, this won't work. People who are in that state, for them, this will not work. Because it is necessary that when you take to spiritual life, you have to give some priority to something, isn't it? If you're always thinking that my bills and my payments and then don't ask Vedavyas, then why have you written all these books and now I can't do it because I've got to pay my bills. Don't go and tell Vedavyas all these things. He's not going to listen to us. He expects that we are in a fit state to engage in reflecting on the soul. We should be in a fit state. But when we are not in the fit state, all the time absorbed, it's like this person who is drunk, who cannot reach the destination. We have drunk due to our own conditioning of the mind and the ignorance, deep-rooted ignorance in us. We are unable to absorb anything. We are unable to engage ourselves in that activity. So, he says here, the mind is a dead thing, jadam it is. It doesn't have any intelligence. Then, unless we try ourselves to turn this mind inward looking, it's not going to turn on its own. It won't. It will never do that. Till we try ourselves to start doing that. That means, for a person who is coming to spiritual life, unless he becomes thoughtful, and unless he becomes a little bit inward looking, it is not possible to continue in spiritual life. He'll carry on like this in this world, like a karmam, we will do our spiritual activities also. Spiritual activities will turn out to be another karmam. Only thing is that this karmam will go on life after life, won't getting anywhere. That should not happen. That is why Krishna is saying this. Abhyasena kaunteya vairagyena jagrihyate. Why vairagyam has brought with abhyasam? Because only if vairagyam is there, the abhyasam will go well. Suppose somebody is very busy in his material life. He has got so many things going on in this world. For him, if he has to engage in abhyasam, it will be very, very difficult, isn't it? It's not possible. Practically, it's not possible. That's what I am saying. We are going and putting all this Bhagavad Gita in all the hotels and motels and inns and everywhere. I've also stayed in some of these hotels, and everywhere I've found Bible, I have not seen anyone touching that so far. Not one of them opened. And they think that reading any spiritual literature is just like reading a novel. No, it is not. Novel you read for passing the time or to get some pleasure out of it. But spiritual life is not like that. Spiritual life, you have to give time to it. You have to have the state of mind ready for it. So sometimes I wonder whether all this is how much worthwhile it is. All these things we do. But anyway, sometimes we also say that if you see Bhagavad Gita once, you will still go back home, back to Godhead. We can even say like that. People say like that. Some people say, oh, if you keep Bhagavad Gita at home, that's enough. Or Bhagavatam at home, that is enough. But actually, that's not enough. But we say like that so that at least it takes one Bhagavad Gita. And so, therefore, we say like that. many times on the street. We have to say like that to devotees. You take this Bhagavad-gita. If you can't, don't get time, don't worry about it. Keep it at home. One set, full Charitamrita Bhagavatam. Let it stay at home. It'll be benefited, we'll say. So, he'll do that. He'll take that, isn't it? In the same way. So, but, if you want to seriously study, understand spiritual life and Krishna consciousness, and make this progress, what Krishna is saying here, Abhyasena du Kaunteya Vairagyana Jagrahyade, there is no shortcut other than that. Vairagyam must be there. It's a prerequisite. Why Vairagyam? Because unless there is Vairagyam, the mind will go into sense objects. Turn into sense objects. Which means, directing the mind, inward looking becomes very, very difficult. That's very clear. That is the reason why we say Vairagyam is necessary. Vairagyam is necessary. Absolutely necessary. And the more the Vairagyam is, the stronger will be the realization inside. And inward looking will become flourish. It will blossom if the Vairagyam is strong. Therefore, Vairagyam is given the highest importance. There is a book, Bhartrahari has written, Vairagya Shatakam. 100 verses on Vairagyam. How a person who has got Vairagyam, how he enjoys the world in spiritual life. How he enjoys his spiritual life. Because there is no Vairagyam, it becomes very difficult to think all, to get absorbed in all these things. It becomes very difficult if we get distracted very easily by various things in this world. So that's why Krishna says here, Abhyasena du Kaunteya Vairagyana Jagrahyade. So he kept that Vairagyam along with this Abhyasam. Isn't it? Now, let's go back to Bhagavatam and look at it. What Bhagavatam says about that. What does Bhagavatam says? Bhagavatam says like this. That three things. Bhakti, Jnanam, Vairagyam. If there is Vairagyam, there will be Jnanam. If there is no Vairagyam, there will be Jnanam. So, Jnanam and Vairagyam, if it is there, Bhakti must be there. That is the conclusion. If you look into the first canto, in the second chapter, you will see a few verses talking about that. You remember? That how important it is. Bhakti Jnana Vairagyam is Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhakti Jnana Vairagyam. So, Vairagyam is mentioned in the Bhagavatam. Vairagyam is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita as well. Isn't it? Savai Pumsam Paravadharmam Yadho Bhakti Atokshaje Ahaituki Apratihata Yenal Masam Prasidati Nashtaprayeshu, Abaddeshu, Nityam Bhagavada Sevaya, Bhagavadi, Uttamashloge, Bhaktir Bhavadi, Naishtigi. And you will see there that the mentioning about Jnanavairagyam. Jnanavairagyam are considered to be like the two wings of Bhakti. Bhakti is considered to be like a bird, and the bird can only fly if these two wings of Jnanam and Vairagyam is flapping. If it is doing its job. Otherwise, Bhakti can't go anymore, anywhere. So that is why it is so important, this understanding, that devotee's life is not meant for sense enjoyment. Devotee's life is not meant for, it's meant for austerities, penances, and also for cultivating this renunciation and knowledge. Only then the mind will turn inwards, looking inwards, and start inquiring about the soul. Otherwise, where can this realization come? Where can the realization come? Realization won't come from outside. It comes from inside. We misunderstand that everything is outside. Nothing is outside. Everything is inside, already packed and kept there. Only thing you have to take it out. That's all. And that is the process of spiritual life. So we'll discuss it next Sunday. We'll just have a short kirtan. And then we'll close it. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Bye.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Glory to Srila Prabhupada.